To the book of Luke, chapter 2. Justice already read it, but we're going to read it again. Starting in verse 8, Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that this is the day that we celebrate your entrance of your Son into this world. He truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, born of a virgin, to rescue us from our sins. Lord, I pray, God, as we continue on, that we would continue to lift up your name, that your name would be glorified, that our hearts would be set on you and on the things of heaven, and that you would be here in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus on one word in this passage, and it's the word that's found in verse 14 of Luke chapter 2. That's the word peace. So the heavenly host appears and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The biblical meaning of peace is the idea of wholeness, well-being, prosperity, security, harmony, and unity. And this is what the angel announces: peace. Well, notice, where is the peace to be found? On earth. On earth. So God is restoring all things. A peace on earth, think about it, that hadn't been seen since the days of Adam and Eve, before they sinned. And now God was bringing that peace in fulfillment back, and even more so. A peace that had gone away, but now was coming back. And who doesn't want peace? Y'all going to family gatherings and stuff, right? And some of y'all just praying for peace. I mean, we want peace. Who doesn't want peace? Every nation wants peace. Every church wants peace. Every family wants peace. Every individual wants peace. And now individuals and families and churches and nations, they've gone about getting peace in a wide variety of ways. Some of them good, some of them not so good. But at the end of the day, people long for peace. Now, interestingly enough, at this time in history when Jesus was born, Caesar Augustus, we read about him just a couple days ago in the very first verse of chapter 2, it says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." So he's the emperor at the time, and he had ushered in what people now refer to as the Pax Romana. Roman peace, because Rome had been at war after war after war after war for pretty much all of its existence, and Caesar Augustus comes on, and he is able to achieve peace, a peace that lasted, actually, for hundreds of years. So this time in Roman history was relatively peaceful. The gates of Janus, it was an ancient Roman tradition that the gates remained open during times of war. and were closed only when Rome was at universal peace. And Augustus took great pride that during his reign, the gates were closed three different times for years and years and years and years. Up to that point in Roman history, guess how many times those gates had been closed? Hundreds and hundreds of years of Roman history, the gates had only been closed twice. And yet in his reign, three different times, the gates were closed for years, sometimes decades. Nevertheless, the peace was temporary. When we read about the Roman Empire, it's in the past tense, right? That empire does not exist anymore. So you can strive for peace all you want and still end up short in the long run. During World War II, as Germany was starting its military campaign, one of the places they attacked was the country of Denmark. And Denmark fought back. You know how long Denmark lasted? A few hours. A few hours. And they surrendered. In part because they wanted peace. And they got it. I mean, sort of. Denmark was a staging ground for invasions of other countries by the Germans. So it was peace, I mean, for the Germans living there, for the soldiers occupying it, but it didn't include much peace for the Danish. It was a peace on fake grounds. It's hard to blame Denmark, because we will do a lot of things to get peace. Generally and usually, though, it's not real peace. Jesus ushers in a peace that lasts forever. This is the peace you want. Not an earthly peace brought about by some empire or kingdom, but a peace that has come to earth. And who brings it? None other than the Prince of Peace. Listen to the words of Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And think about it. Once Jesus rises from the dead, when he appears to the disciples, there's two different times the first words out of his mouth are, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And he can say that now because the peace has come. He is the peace. And just about every New Testament letter begins with grace and peace to you. You can go through it. Romans, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Galatians, Ephesians, pretty much every New Testament letter will have that introduction, and it will say peace. It's not just a formality. No, it's much more than that. It's a theological statement of what God has accomplished through his son, Jesus. So the angels announce in Luke, peace. I mean, if only it were that easy, right? Just announce peace. And it's there. But that's what really happened, right? I mean, the angel announced peace, and what happens? The Prince of Peace comes into this world. Peace has arrived. And as a baby that grew to an infant, that grew to a boy, that grew to a man, that man, Jesus, achieved peace. Not just a temporary peace, but a peace that is offered to all, that lasts for an eternity. The Prince of Peace achieved peace. Peace with whom? Well, peace between us and God. When we talk about peace, we normally think of wars. We normally think of nations fighting against nation. We think of things like that. But in the truest sense, when we talk about peace, we're talking about a concept of a theological idea of us being separated from God. If you don't have peace with God, what do you have? You got war. And over, the Bible refers to us as enemies. Enemies is God. Romans 5, listen to this. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Well, why are we enemies? Well, because we've sinned against him. We've essentially waged war against a holy God. And that's what our sin does and announces. Every time we do it, we're announcing a holy war against a holy God, and we think we can win. Why? Well, because we keep sinning, and we keep putting ourselves on the throne. But what has to happen? I mean, and that's why the Bible calls us enemies. Apart from Christ, we're enemies. But what does Jesus do? This is why it's so important. Listen to me. What does Jesus do? He wipes away that enmity, the hostility. He comes, and he's the one that brings peace. So when it comes peace, we're not talking like, oh, everything is great and fuzzy and fine down here. Clearly, it's not. We're talking a peace that Christ himself brings between you and God. He is the only one that can do it. And God knew that. The Father saw it, and he saw the only way for the door to be opened was for him to send who? The prophets? Prophet after prophet after prophet. Did that work? No. What did he have to do? Send his own son. And what did they do? They murdered him. They murdered the Son of God. And yet, that was part of the plan. From the very beginning, the plan was for God to send his son to lay down his life. Jesus comes willingly. The Father sends him willingly. And what happens? Christ brings back a peace that we can have with God the Father. It's only through Christ's death, his sacrifice, his resurrection, that we can be made whole with God again. We can wave the white flag, like, metaphorically. Why? Because we're at war. What do you do when you want to surrender? Well, you go to the greater power, the one that is got the upper hand, and you say, hey, what are the terms? Does the nation that's about to be crushed say, here are the terms? No, Denmark didn't do it, and no one else ever has either. They agree to the terms. Well, what are the terms that God set? He actually doesn't have a lot of terms. It is surrender. Surrender your life. And how do you do that? By repenting of those sins, those things that have gone against God, the holy war that you've been waging, repenting of those sins and turning back to your Father. How is that done? Through trusting in Christ. In Ephesians, it says, by grace we're saved. We don't do anything to save ourselves. God's grace is what saves us. How does he do that? How does he get that grace to us? Through faith. For by grace, you're saved through faith. And this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not by works, lest any man boast. God, in his loving kindness, sent his Son to bring peace. Interestingly enough, God is the one who approaches us. And he says, I want peace. And here are the terms. In one sense, the terms are impossible to meet. It's impossible. How do you please a holy God? Well, Jesus did it for us. He did what we couldn't do. And in another sense, it is so simple, even a small child can come and be at peace with God. So I encourage you today to repent of your sins. Stop waging the holy war. Come to the terms of peace. It's very simple. Repent of your sins. Trust in Christ. You receive the gift of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that through your Son, we can have peace with you. The God of all heaven, the God of all earth, the God of this universe, the God who created it all, offered peace to his creation. And Father, I pray for anyone here still waging a holy war against you, that they'd come to terms of peace with you tonight. They would repent and trust in what your Son Jesus did, that it was enough. We thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus. We thank you that we celebrate it this Christmas Eve. You are a good and gracious God, and we love you. Amen.